in between surgeries from Eastland Companion Animal Hospital is the world famous, or at least soon to be here on WJBC, Dr. Charlie McCulley. And I thank you so much for taking some time out in between surgeries, because you are going to get a big question from me that everybody else has been asking.
Well, thank you for having me on. We appreciate it.
I wanted to go to the source. On Monday, we have the solar eclipse. I've been nonstop talking about preparations, including eye safety for us humans.
Yes.
Do we need to worry about eye safety for our animals? Are they going to look up into the sun and go blind?
The good news is, with our pets and with wildlife, they are much, much smarter, I guess, than us humans when it comes to looking directly at sunlight. So the biggest thing is no, they're not just going to look up at the eclipse. But, you know, we are telling our clients, just for safety reasons, just keep your pet inside as much as possible during the time of the eclipse.
There are people that are doing the same thing with children, who they won't be able to explain, hey, there's infrared light, you won't feel the pain, and don't look up unless you have the special glasses.
Right,
so,
right.
Okay, so the animals, whew, are going to be okay. That makes the animals
will be okay. The biggest light-related issues that we have with animals is more due to skin problems, and there's, theories out there about animals in nature, birds nesting, and really the issue with that is, for a brief moment, wildlife mistakes the eclipse for dusk in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So, but really the time lapse of that is very short. But again, for our pets at home, no issues at all. So
great to hear it. Now, since we're talking about eye safety, there have been a couple of times I've come close to pulling the trigger on buying some doggles. I thought they would look cute. But they're sunglasses for dogs. I have a big-headed dog, a St. Bernard.
Sure.
If I could find them big enough, I probably would have bought them by now. Are those something that pets need?
They, in this area, no. They are very, very popular out west with seeing more intense sunlight and more intense UV radiation. Around here, it's not very, very common at all. I think it's just for looks more so than anything.
Well, I can understand if you're near the ocean or
right.
You live near the water,
right.
the sun can reflect
right.
and really
right.
be quite
bright. Right.
All right,
right,
so we don't need the doggles.
Right, we do have doggles here at the clinic, but it's for our pets that are treated with our cold laser therapy, and that's more just for more the wavelength to keep out of their eyes when they're getting treated. But other than that, that's it.
Dr. McCulley, what did they get cold laser therapy for?
Cold laser therapy can be used in a variety of ways. The two biggest things we use here for are our older pets with arthritis in the hips, elbows, knees, and back, and then also for wound healing. Cold laser therapy stimulates wound healing, and we have really, really fantastic results with it.
Wow, I'm learning more about Eastland every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
High-tech tools. All right, well, I know you have to get back to surgery, and I promised all of your assistants that I wouldn't keep you long, but I will ask, is there any other hot topic in the veterinarian world that we should be talking about? Any occasions of dog flu or horrifying ticks?
You know what? The dog flu so far in this area in McLean County, the clinics, the grooming boarding facilities have done a great job with the vaccination protocols. I think the biggest thing that we're seeing right now is problems with internal and external parasites. Internal parasites would be worms, protozoal parasites. External parasites would be fleas and ticks. And I think we kind of had a very mild winter, and so we don't get the kill off that we usually see from our parasites. So, basically from May till now, the number of animals with parasites we're treating is double compared to 2016. So very important, keep your pets on flea and tick prevention. And for the yearly visits, we need to check a parasite sample.
Sounds good. All right. Back to work, sir.
All right.
I look forward to hearing your regular segments in the morning show starting in September here on WABC.
Okay, great, Susan. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I very much appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
Once
Bye.
Again, that was Dr. Charlie McCulley, who you are going to start hearing in September and beyond on the morning show, doing vet questions and answers with Scott and Patty, and hopefully with the folks that are going to be calling in with their pet questions. You may hear me run into the studio and say, I got a question, because I've always got questions for the vet, but he's over along with with other great vets and techs and assistants and more at Eastland Companion Animal Hospital. And now we can all rest a little easier knowing that we don't have to worry as much about our animals on Monday. But if you can, keep your animals inside, as he suggested, because there can be some confusion as to, you know, daytime versus nighttime. My dog is inside when I'm at work, so that's good. But not everybody has that true. But if you have horses, if you have cattle, if you have pigs, you have care for these animals, and apparently they're smarter than we think. To repeat the information we were talking about last hour, as I've gotten many requests on social media to do, because we're hearing more and more recalls of eye protection designed for humans that have been sold months in advance of the big solar eclipse on Monday. And you want to make sure that you have solar eclipse glasses or devices that are approved to protect your eyes. And the best way to look and find that out is a website comparison of reputable producers of glasses that were sold on the market, whether they be made out of paper, cardboard, plastic, what have you. There is a website that has so much great eclipse information on it. I want you to just use this as your homepage for all things eclipse, and that's eclipse.AAS.org, Solar Eclipse Across America, and it's from the American Astronomical Society. They are funded through the National Science Foundation. When you hit that homepage of eclipse.AAS.org, you'll see an entire segment on eye safety, and how to view a solar eclipse safely is on that listing. And beyond the filters and the viewers list, that again, you want to make sure that the manufacturer of whatever you may already have is compliant with the international safety standard for such products. You don't want to find out that too late that you're using a counterfeit product and you're causing yourself damage when you thought you were safe. I can tell you, if you can see anything through the filters or the glasses that you have, then they're not good enough, because the ones that Dr. Movic, who we talked to last hour, let me, you know, test run his pair. He brought in a pair for Scott Lachlan. Scott's more special than I am. But I looked through the ones he brought in for Scott, and if you can see anything through them beyond the sun, looking directly at it, then what you have is not compliant. But there's a listing on that website of reputable vendors that is way too long to read here on the radio. And also the numbers, the international safety standard numbers for these products should be printed on the glasses or the packaging that they came in. But once you have solar filters or viewers in your hands, double check and make sure they're not torn, damaged, punctured. Always supervise children using solar filters so that they're not lifting the glasses and looking up when they are supposed to be keeping them on their face. If you normally wear eyeglasses, you keep those on and you put your eclipse glasses on over them, or you hold your handheld viewer in front of them as long as you're not seeing around the edges. Stand still, cover your eyes with your eclipse glasses or solar viewer before looking up at the bright sun. And then after looking at the sun, you turn away and you remove the filter. Don't remove it while you're looking at the sun. I know these seem like instructions that you would already know by instinct, but it's going to be a dramatic day. And because it's also a very time-specific moment when we're going to have what is closest to totality, about 1:19, 1:20 our time on Monday, people are going to be anxious and they may make mistakes. Talk to a professional astronomer if you can, or someone who's very experienced with cameras, before you try and use a solar filter that you think is going to work with a camera, a telescope, binoculars, any other optical device. Those solar filters must be attached to the front, not just the segment that is going to be between you and your eye. If you are inside the path of totality, and only if you are inside the path of totality, and again, that is going to be not here, but a couple hundred miles away in southern Illinois, you can only remove your solar filter when the moon completely covers the sun's bright face and it suddenly gets quite dark. You're going to know when you're inside totality. Outside the path of totality, which includes here in central Illinois, you must always use the safe solar filter to view the sun directly. You cannot take them off at any point in time while looking at the sun. And because the number one question I get nonstop, as I have become kind of your eclipse specialist here on WJBC, I'm just obsessed with all things eclipse for Monday, as the number one question is always, where do I get the glasses? Where do I get the glasses? They're all sold out. They're all sold out. Again, this website, eclipse.aas.org, has a way for you to make some optical projection devices at home. And you would think that when we talk about the sun funnel or sunspotter solar scope or the pinhole projection device is probably the easiest and fastest thing you could make. You'd think it would be understood that you don't look at the sun directly through a pinhole, but I'll say it anyway. That is the most important part of that device, is that you're projecting sunlight through the hole onto a different surface and looking at the solar image on the surface. The pinhole projection, not really useful for observing the total phase of the solar eclipse. The projected image would be a little too faint for you to see. During totality, when it suddenly gets very dark, then you're not going to get light coming through that pinhole projection. But here in Bloomington Normal area, you're not supposed to be looking up unless you have the solar filters on your eyeballs. See, if you're too scared of messing this up on your own, well, then the easiest way I can suggest to watch all things solar eclipse on Monday is to tune in online or on TV. There's 14 states in the path of totality, but the viewing opportunities are worldwide, including if you have Oculus or a virtual reality headset. CNN is doing 360-degree coverage, accessible in virtual reality, which is really neat broadcasting. And they're going to be broadcasting from Oregon, Missouri, Tennessee, and South Carolina. You have the Science Channel broadcasting its live coverage from Oregon. You have ABC live coverage with viewing parties all across the country. NBC has Lester Holt hosting special reports from correspondents all over, including in Illinois. So the Solar Eclipse Through the Eyes of NASA channel or stream and event is probably going to be the best one for you to watch without virtual reality capabilities. They're doing on NASA their stream on their NASA website, as well as the NASA television channel, beginning at noon Eastern. So that'll be 11 a.m. our time, and their live streaming of the eclipse will include some extras that we wouldn't see from the ground: images from satellites, research aircraft, high altitude balloons, specially modified telescopes. And the Weather Channel is also going to be broadcasting all kinds of fun all day long. If Monday doesn't turn out to be the day where you get to enjoy the eclipse the way you want to, the bonus news is that if we're all still here and healthy in 2024, the next solar eclipse in the Americas will come to us. Now, that date is April 8th, 2024. And the hotel rooms in Carbondale are already completely sold out in that area and beyond, because they're doing a whole weekend of festivities in that area of totality. So maybe you could start making reservations for 2024. I don't know. In the solar eclipse of 2024, the totality path is changing. It will touch Mexico, enter the United States at Texas, and then do a diagonal to Maine before it visits a couple of provinces in Canada. But again, it will bisect right through the Carbondale area, and NASA will probably return to that location again. So for the first time in a long time, Illinois is special. Illinois has a level of positivity about something that's happening here. We're not talking about budgets. We're not talking about politicians. Yay, Illinois. We happen by nature's choice to be very, very special during the eclipse on Monday. And I'll keep you updated on everything I know here in WJBC.